In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing, and we're going to read about Reverend Domenico Francis, and he was the he's the medical surgeon of and professor of physiology and missionary medicine. Okay, and he was asked, you know, because of his study, he was asked to read these documents that, of Luisa, and it was right after the death of St. Annibal de Francia. And so he says this: Dear Father, almost a year ago, last September, Your Excellency, along with other dignitaries, interviewed me with regarding two manuscripts of the book entitled In the Reign of the Divine Will. It was your wish that I render a judgment about the book whose author had sought absolutely anonymity. Well, Reverend Father, as you know, I wasn't content in just reading the book, but wanted to also meet the author so as to better be able to render an opinion. So here, you know, he's, I like the way he thinks. He wants to know more. And he wants to visit Luisa. He wants to, learn more about who is this woman? Who is she? So having read the book and met the author, I didn't stop with my own convictions. He said, but I sought the opinion of some competent religious colleagues, and I am also enclosing one such testimony. And it is the opinion of Father Consalvo Valles, professor of theology in our university, the International University of St. Anthony. He is currently in charge of revising our textbooks, and I will include his testimony later. Truthfully, anyone not having time or interest in examining the book can simply review the index to see how this soul, Luisa Picaretta, called by God to perfection. Now think about this. He realizes that what Jesus has given to Luisa is a calling to perfection. You must be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. And is gradually elevated through self-annihilation, anonymity, and detachment, through temptations and trials, one of which is most severe, that lasted more than 46 years. So here he knows that she's been bedridden all the trials. I mean, just talking to her, she reveals to him what she has gone through. I am simply astounded as a medical doctor to find no bed sores or skin abrasions on a patient who has been obliged to be immobile in bed for so many years. So here is, again, we know bed sores happen to many people in nursing homes, and it's a horrible thing to witness the skin dies and it goes right to the bone. I remember when my mom had that, she didn't have anything for 7 years. She never got a bed sore. But the last 6 months, boy, did she get a bed sore. And I said to my doctor, you know, this has got to be killing her. And he just said, there's no pain. There's no nerves there. The nerves are gone. The nerves are dead. And it's a tough thing for those taking care of the sick to see these skin abrasions after being immobile for so long in a bed. So as a religious examiner, so he's seen this before again and again, it is most consoling to have received assurances that for many years after exhaustive examinations by physicians, confessors, and archbishops, no one has ever discovered any deception. This is so great about Luisa. Luisa was so authentic. Father Bucci would say she never complained. She was never, she was always peaceful. She was also always joyful. She was always happy. And the main thing is, like I said, what when you looked into her eyes, what did you experience? And Father Bucci said that it was heaven. You felt her love of heaven in this soul who basically was alone in bed for, as Archbishop Piccieri said, 70 years. And finally, as a priest, she says, I am delighted to have confirmed that in this patient, Luisa, there exists not only a refined integrity of Christian virtue, but a movement of a soul striving toward a perfection illuminated by a special grace. So here he's examined as a doctor, as you know, many people, and he sees in Luisa a perfection illuminated by a special grace. Now, when you think about it, what does the Vatican say about the book that they put out on Luisa? It says, "The son of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta," the S-U-N, this illumination, this light. Luisa Picaretta. This is a special grace that this priest realizes this is rare. This is rare, like he said, for 46 years at that time. Aside from all that seems our Lord deigned to accomplish in this soul to purify and make her worthy an instrument of mercy for others, I observed in her writings the prevailing theme which would call the paramount meaning of the existence of this creature, the divine will. I see here he realizes that she is doing this for others. He recognizes this desire of Luisa to suffer for others. And I observed in her writings the prevailing theme that I would call paramount, and that's divine will. So he recognizes that the divine will of God, which Jesus is manifesting to Luisa, that he said to Luisa numerous times, "I have told no one about this, not one saint." Because Luisa would say, "If the divine will is so important, why are you coming to me? What about the great saints? What about the Pope? Tell them what this is about, and they will push it. They will promote it." And Jesus says, "You don't understand, Luisa. I've told no one this. My mother lived it," he says. "I lived it. This is the life of the new Adam and the new Eve. But no saint has ever been able to embrace this gift." This is why when you read the Book of Heaven, it's a new beginning that God has given you. It's to begin to see things from a divine perspective. You begin to see things from Jesus's point of view, Jesus's perspective. You see that Luisa's memory isn't about her suffering or her family or her nation. Her memory was always focused on Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So that finally God could give to her this great gift of the divine will, which took the place of her human will. That's why he says, "Everything that I observe in her writings," he says, "the theme, the paramount meaning is divine will. This is what I see in this soul." You know, there are people that have never read Luisa. They've heard people talk about Luisa or heard people talk about what their understanding of Luisa is, not the true understanding of Luisa. Now, that's why I love Father Bucci. Father Bucci would... He would say, "This is what it's about. This is what it's about. Nothing more." He once said, you know, what they want to do in Corrado is form another Giovanni Rotondo. He goes, "Luisa doesn't want a Giovanni Rotondo. Luisa wants the divine will to reign on earth. This is the most essential thing, that the Book of Heaven is given to humanity." It's true. It's not about another Giovanni Rotondo, not another place like Padre Pio had, but it's to begin to live this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about at the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia, echoing the words of St. Annibal de Francia. So this priest says, this humble soul calls upon everyone to comprehend the evil of their personal human wills and proclaims that just as the human will represents a common evil, which is sin, so also there exists for sinful mankind a universal remedy. And this remedy, listen, now he's talked to Louisa. He's read, he understands this remedy is that the most holy divine will of God be the life of the human will. So Jesus is showing us through this priest, through this doctor, the important thing about the divine will. Louisa called souls, called upon everyone to comprehend the evil of their human will. And again, what is the human will? It's when you go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want this life. I want to be free of this, as this priest is saying, the common evil, which is sin, but also this, what we need is we need as he says, a universal remedy. So this universal remedy is the divine will. This remedy is that the most holy divine will of God be the life, take the place of the human will. It's in exchange. So what does Our Lady teach Louisa? Take your human will as a gift and present it to the throne of God as God's footstool. And you say, basically, I never want my human will to be in charge of my life anymore. This is essential for each and every one of us. This is our prevenient act in the morning. I don't want my human will. I want to be fused to the triune God. I want to be fused to the triune God through being fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I want to live in the divine will. I don't want my human will in charge anymore. I want the Lord God Almighty to reign in me as originally was planned for Adam. This is what I long for. This is what I desire. This is the remedy for humanity. So why is the Book of Heaven coming out at this point? I think it's very simple. Jesus says, every 2,000 years, I renew the face of the earth. So from Adam to Noah was 2,000 years. And the flood came and washed the world clean. The sons of God, the children of Adam, the daughters of Adam, the Nephilim were gone. And then 2,000 years later, Jesus comes to earth to redeem humanity. He sheds every drop of his blood. This blood, his precious blood, washes the world clean from the slavery of the devil. The devil's no longer in charge. We don't belong to him. We have been bought now by the blood of Jesus. And then now 2,000 years later, the fire from heaven is coming. And what is the fire of heaven? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This new and divine way of holiness is being offered to the world. This is the remedy. We have been redeemed 2,000 years ago, but we still go to confession each week. God wants to free us from this life that we've been under the thumb of the evil one. Now you have to remember, when Adam sinned, he was in paradise. And God said to Adam, basically, you can't stay here. You've already chosen what you wanted. You've chosen to listen to the evil one. So what does Jesus say? I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. That's where we had to be, with the one that Adam listened to. For 6,000 years, and after 4,000 years of praying, may the Messiah come. The Essenes praying, focused on the Messiah, Jesus and Mary come to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what do they do immediately? They teach the apostles within 3 years the universal life, the Catholic life. This is the life that Adam lost. And now 2,000 years later, The evil one knows his time is coming to an end. This is a 6,000 year period. We've now entered the 7,000th year. John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. It's a new beginning for humanity. There's a remedy to this misery that we've been in for 6,000 years, and even though we've been redeemed for the last 2,000 years. And the remedy is the most holy will of God. Where do you find it? Everything that Jesus told Louisa, Our Lady told Louisa, she put down on paper in the Book of Heaven for us. And as we read it, as we study it, as we put this into practice, we begin to understand that God is going to win. God isn't going to lose. Yeah, it seems hectic. It seems troublesome. But God is going to win. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to be negative about. The divine will is everything. The divine will is the true life of Jesus and Mary. And as Jesus taught Louisa, he says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. Because that's your life. And that's where you're going. But if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. Why? That's your life. Peace, joy, and happiness. What do they say when you squeeze an orange? What comes out is orange juice. Okay. When a person has to go through trial and temptation, and what comes out is what the person is made of. If it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity, that's not heaven. But what Jesus teaches Louisa, and you can hear it from this priest, is fiat. Lord, let it be done as you say. How many times have I heard people say when it's sunny out, oh, it's so nice today. We're going to have seven more days of rain now because of the sunny day today. It's like, why are you cursing yourself? It's sunny today, fiat. It's rainy tomorrow, fiat. It's warm today, fiat. It's cold tomorrow, fiat. What matters is that we thank God and praise God and love God and glorify God for what he's offering to us. If it's cold, there's a reason for it. If it's warm, there's a reason for it. So Jesus is showing us, what did he say to Louisa? He said, if Adam didn't sin, there would be no deserts on earth. The desert, just think how huge the Sahara Desert is. It would be packed with people, Jesus says. See, there's plenty of room. What do they say? All the people in the world right now can fit in Texas with 90 square feet. That's 90 square feet is not big, but you could fit everyone in the world in Texas. The rest of the world is empty. See, God has it all planned. What the devil wants from us is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, because that's him. He's filled with misery. Jesus is filled with peace. And that's what this priest sees when he looks at Louisa. Here's a soul, a humble soul, who calls upon everyone to comprehend the evil of their personal human wills and proclaims that just as the human will represents the common evil, which is sin, there also exists for sinful humanity a universal remedy. And that's what God is giving to us now. This remedy is the most holy will of God that can be the life in place of the fallen human nature. We have been redeemed, but we're fallen. It's the perfect human is Jesus. The perfect human is Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what God wants us to enter into, this abundant life. So this priest says, if this book did nothing more than impress on its readers the rights of God and his most holy divine will, the rights of God and this most holy divine will, and affirms God's supreme power over the human will and over the power and the kingdoms of our minuscule earth, he says, I would still maintain that it would make a significant contribution for the good of souls. So here he says it's helped him, and he knows that this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Louisa Picard and the Divine Will, is going to bring good to you. So he says, Reverend Father, I tell you that it is my judgment, both as a priest and a physician, that only a mortified and a continuously mortified soul, this is Louisa, a mortified and continuously mortified soul, only a human will fused in the divine will could arrive at concepts so basic and so fundamental as those which this soul, Louisa Picaretta, reveals. I've told you about my friend. He's a priest. He's a doctor. He's got a doctorate in philosophy, a couple doctorates. And when I showed him, I showed him something in volume 36 that was really beautiful. I said, what do you think of this? And he read it and he goes, a human didn't write this. And I go, you're right. How do you know? He goes, people don't think like this. God thinks like this. And I said, you're right. Here he could see that this language of heaven is more beautiful than anything. And if we have difficulty with the book of heaven, it's because we're not fluent in the language of heaven yet. We have to learn and study and put this into practice. Like I've said before, if you want to learn French, you go to France, you stay there for a while. If you want to learn German, go to Germany. You stay there for a while. You learn, you listen, you learn, you enter into dialogue, you know, trying to, you know, master this language. And it's the same thing for the divine will. As you begin to read, as you become fluent with this book of heaven, it's everything. Your whole understanding of God, it's like an enlightenment that you have of that's what Jesus means. That's why he said that. For example, you know, there's so many things that Jesus tells Louisa. There's so many beautiful things, like with the young boy who was raised from the dead. The young man of a widowed mother, and the boy was raised to life. And Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do with the human will. I'm going to raise humanity from this death that they've been in, basically for 6,000 years. I redeemed you, basically, Jesus says, 2,000 years ago. Now sanctification comes. What is the sanctification? The kingdom of God will be on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. So he says, only a human will fused the divine will could arrive at these concepts that Louisa are putting down in paper, so basic and fundamental as those which this soul, Louisa Picaretta, reveals. It's not her. It's Jesus that is telling her. It's Jesus that is teaching her. These lessons, these manifestations, these truths, we also read, and Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus is guiding us. He's leading us. This is a glorious time to be alive. Okay, again, we're in a situation where Peter was when the waves were crashing all around the boat. They're being tossed and turned in these waves, and Jesus is walking on the water. And he realizes he can save me. And Peter yells out, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And he goes, come. Peter gets out of the boat, walks a few yards, and what does he do? He's distracted by the waves, these waves that are higher than the boat, these waves that are higher than him. And he's not focused on Jesus. Louisa teaches us how to focus on Jesus. She longs for Jesus. She desires Jesus. She pleads for Jesus. What's happening is Louisa is teaching us in her sorrow to long for Jesus, to desire Jesus, to be with Jesus. This is what God is asking of us. This is why he gave us Louisa. He says, basically, I want you to see a soul who loves me so much that she's basically doing more than Adam could do. I only asked Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree, and he failed. And I asked Louisa, no eating. She okay. She agreed it with it. No, okay, I won't eat. Now her bishop told her to eat. So she would eat, and Father Bucci was there when she would take a cracker, chew it, swallow it, take a grape, chew it, swallow it, and then comes right back up, a whole cracker, a whole grape glistening. And he was astonished. How can she do this? So she was obedient to Jesus by not eating, and she was obedient to the bishop by eating and then not retaining it. Then Jesus said, no more drinking. And Jesus said towards the end, no, don't, I want you no more sleeping. Think about it. She was tired. It didn't go away magically. She said, okay. Can you imagine trying to stay awake for 46 years? And then with no eating for 46 years? I mean, she did not eat. She did not drink. She did not sleep. This is why he says she mortified herself, but continuously mortified herself. And then he says, the only if human will fused in the divine will could arrive at such an understanding, so basic and fundamental, that Luisa talks, it's very simple. It's the divine will is not complicated. It's exactly what Jesus says to her. Now, I'm working on the talk for October, the second week of October. And Jesus says to Luisa, I want you to fight me, fight with me. How do I say it's fight with me, fight me. I want you to fight with me. Yes. Now that could be fight with him, you know, or it could be fight together with him or apart from him, fight against him. But see, the words that Jesus uses are he loves to have fun with words. He loves to have fun with numbers. When you start reading, he suggests to Luisa, you're going to fight with me. And then he says to together with him, he says, but you're going to also fight against me. But what does that mean? It means that she is the one who's going to, fight so that God gives the divine will back to humanity. A human born of original sin. Not the mother of God, not the son of God, but Luisa. So here is, she understands her mission. Her mission is to fulfill that the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? And so here's this priest is saying, this is achieved without study or without schooling. What is he saying? This basic and fundamental concept that Luisa reveals is achieved without studies or schooling. So she had a first grade education. Being only in bed, a bed of pain and of spasm, and with an extremely limited background in literature, theology, and aestheticism, yet she speaks with true competence about the most obscure themes and gives solutions to the most difficult problems and takes the soul of who reads her writings to the most aromatic spheres of virtue. He's describing heaven, when she died, it was the odor of sanctity, aromatic spheres of virtue of heaven is what Luisa possesses. And that's why my priest friend said, no human writes like this. This is God. And he did not know that this is Jesus was speaking to her. He just read and said, there's something amazing. And he's now reading. And you know what's fun about him? He's a slow reader. A lot of us like to read fast. Every word is important to him. Every word has meaning to him. I can't wait until he can tell us more about what the divine will is because of his gift that God gave him. You know, I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be That's going to be a glorious, it's going to be a glorious time. So Jesus says, or so the priest says, it is not the time, however, for me to explain the physical, psychological, and moral proofs which I have found within Luisa. I have more certitude in having 65 years of good experience and divorce from worldly concerns and excesses. I reaffirm this mortal moral certitude in as far as it is given to man that the book which Your Excellency gave me can achieve a great good, above all because it comes from the unpretentious and virtuous soul. So here he's saying, I know this person. I read what's there and it's good. But I met her, and which magnifies what's there. She lives this book that she's written. I thank you for the memorable occasion you have given me, and I command myself to your prayers, most respectfully, yours in Christ, Professor of Physiology, Missionary Medicine from the Pontifical Roman Academy, 1931. So here this is what's so great to read what people who have met Luisa say. It's more than what we know. Father Bucci would just say he would just like being with her because it was heaven. Oh, I got one other thing. His sister, Gemma, would always play in the room where Luisa was. And one day she jumped under the bed and she's playing under the bed. And Our Lady came and appeared to Sister Luisa. And she describes as the whole bed went up into heaven, her under the bed. And she talked about how amazing and beautiful heaven was, how she didn't die. She was just with Luisa, and Our Lady came and they all went to heaven and Our Lady was explaining to Luisa certain parts, that needed to be explained to Luisa by Our Lady. But she always talked about this. As a matter of fact, when you see Gemma's picture, she basically, you can see heaven in her eyes. They can see a peace in her smile, a joy in her smile. It's really astonishing. Those people that have met Luisa, it's just an amazing thing. And this is the other thing. We're going to meet Luisa. We're going to meet Luisa. In volume 6, she says, to Jesus, if you take me to heaven right now, if you take me to heaven, I promise you, I swear, this is a commitment that I will return to earth every month and teach the divine will, basically to those who want it. This is her promise. And again, you can't believe what's coming. What's coming is going to be astonishing, because who is going to promote Luisa? Who can promote Luisa? It's Jesus and Mary. They're the ones that want us to know this newborn, this firstborn of the divine will, the little daughter of the divine will. What's coming is going to astonish the world. I mean, there's hints of it all throughout the book. Again, I mentioned if you want to know the illumination of conscience, read the Book of Heaven. What's the illumination of conscience? God is going to explain who we are and who he is. That's the illumination. And most people will be terrified to see who they are, living separate from God. And it's what's been said is if somebody dies, they'll die of fright because they think they're pretty good. They don't need to go to confession. They don't need to pray. I've had people say, I don't pray. I don't need to pray. I know what God wants. So good things are coming. So here's Reverend Consalvo Valles, professor of dogma, theology, and mysticism at the Pontifical University of Rome. Okay, testimony. Reverend Franz Father, I have read and I've studied the book entitled The Reign of the Divine Will, and having meditated on some of the themes, I am able to state the following. Relative to dogma, I find it to completely conform with the teachings of the Holy Church. That was one of the last letters that Archbishop Piccieri said. Some people were saying there was heresies in Luisa's writings. And the Archbishop wrote, stop this. You know, there's no heresies in Luisa's writings. There are things that need to be untied, which doesn't mean it's heresy. They're so involved with the church. And here this priest says, I find it to completely conform with the teachings of the Holy Church and those revealed in the sources of revelation and scripture, including when it speaks about the passing manner on the question of dogma as, and then follows a series of analysis and commentaries such as sublime and marvelous theological precision. Also, the concept of the is most precise without dissonance and with a marvelous harmony. When you read Luisa, it's for you. See, Jesus as God, when you read it, if you're a farmer, you understand from a farmer's perspective as you read the Book of Heaven. If you are a doctor, you begin to read from a doctor's understanding. A friend of mine in Ireland, he was a chemist, and he would see things from a chemical perspective. I thought that was always great. He looked at everything from a chemical perspective, and he would say, "Yes, yes, yes. What Luisa says is true with this. It's true with that." And so, each person who reads the Book of Heaven begins to understand from their perspective. Why? Because the word that Jesus speaks is a divine life for each human being. And as you read this, as you study this, as you put it into practice, you begin to understand things from a divine perspective. You begin to understand from your perspective. And that's what's so great about this. This Book of Heaven is astonishing. Everyone who reads it finds a truth. That's what Archbishop Piccieri said, that they find truth in it. So he says, the concepts are never repeated, yet new and most beautiful. See, this guy's read it. They're never repeated, yet it's new and most beautiful aspects that are present without ever for an instant deviating from the truths of faith. Now this, there's no heresy in Luisa. That's just a lie. It's the evil one trying to destroy Luisa. It can't. You don't want to mess with the little daughter of the divine will. You don't want to mess with the mother of God. But can you imagine messing with the little daughter of the divine will? Jesus said that to Luisa. Let them try to harm you, Luisa. They will fight the fires of heaven. So he says, it is true that on an occasion, incertitude is encountered, including at times unusual things which need explanation. These are the knots that have to be untied. But it's also true that one reflects more on these thoughts, the dissonance of first impression disappears. And when you listen to the dawn of a mystery, the postulator said, when I first heard about Luisa, he said, it made me nervous. He goes, and he says, but when I started reading, when I started focusing on the Book of Heaven, he said, I found God. That's the postulator. Same thing with Father Bucci. When Father Bucci would talk about Luisa, he would giggle because it was so delightful to know this soul, to talk to this soul, to look into her eyes. It was a delight. So, but it is also true that when one reflects more on the thoughts, the dissonance of the first impression disappears. Moreover, Jesus himself gives assurances when he calms Luisa her fears of writing nonsense. See, Louisa would say, I can't write any further. She says, it's just, I'm babbling. You know, she goes on. But what God is showing us through Louisa, this new and divine way of holiness is so deep. It's so beautiful. It's so pure that you can't find this in any saint. Why? It's not a saint that's talking. It's Jesus and Mary revealing to us through little Louisa, this life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So again, this book is almost exact with respect to judgments that are presented, especially when treating the active means of sanctification, which is prayer, work, fulfilling responsibilities, sacraments, pious practices, and mortification, etc. And the virtues. No, to justify the author's point, one would need to quote the entire book. This is, the book of heaven is a delight to read every day. With respect to the mystical phenomenon, the book seems to be truly inspired of numerous points that are presented. We mentioned one as an example, the difference between the abstract and the intuitive knowledge of God and of the soul itself. The intuitive explanation is one that is both psychological and experimental. It explains the theological doctrine regarding the divine gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said to Louisa in the three appeals. Louisa, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you his secrets. So regarding the divine gifts of the Holy Spirit acting in man and how these divine acts differ in nature from the human acts, which man accomplishes using his own virtue. So here, it's going to be the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. This second Pentecost, if you want to say that's coming, is going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. It's everything. It's the secrets that have been hidden since Adam's fall. It's the life that our God is asking us to enter into. So this is what he says here. Number four, with respect to the self-portrait of the soul, it is evident that she intensely lives the life of grace. That's a saint. She intensely lives the life of grace, from which she creates the most beautiful and exact descriptions. She's writing. See, that's why I read her letters. Reading her letters are so beautiful because you're experiencing this description that comes from her. She hasn't been dictated to, but she knows this life. And only the gifts of the Holy Spirit could give Louisa the knowledge and still more the science to describe them. This contemplation of God and his attributes in the Trinitarian life comes from the full use of these gifts. The same can be said of her contemplation of Christ and the Most Holy Virgin in their mysteries in this vision, so consoling and marvelous, of the divine will which governs the world. So this life of Jesus and Mary that governs the world is going to be, we're going to live in it, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Such resolution and generosity can come from no other source than the divine grace, which absorbs the being of the soul, the being of Louisa. In these virtues, she undergoes the greatest and most profound sacrifices, which our Lord requests of her. Her sensitive and acute sentiments, along with her immense charity towards others, springs from and has the foundation in the love of Jesus and Mary. It's always Jesus and Mary. And moreover, the substitution of one's own human will for the will of our Lord can only come from grace, which allows Louisa to remain peaceful, secure, and content in the midst of the greatest tribulation, suffering, and aridity. And this constitutes the particular mission of this soul, Louisa Picaretta. From all these observations made in passing, I harbor the conviction that the person in question is a soul of God. This is Louisa, a soul of God, that the work being accomplished in her is divine. Although I do know about the life and history of the soul, I do not know the life and history of the soul. My examination of the book and the effects which I myself have experienced with her discourse permits me to take this position. The discourse has placed in my spirit a new yearning for more intense spirituality. That's what happens to each and every one of us. Only God holds the keys to man's heart and causes it to vibrate towards sanctification with the deepest regard to your reverence. So here, these are the words of, I remember Archbishop Karata said that. As you read this, everything in your life is going to change. Archbishop Cassati, as you read this, everything in your life begins to change for the better. With Archbishop Echeri, even the poor translations, he says, helps people want to enter into a deeper relationship with God. This is the most beautiful time in the history of the world to be alive. We're going to witness things that the saints, if they could envy, would envy us of being alive. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.